Hello friends, welcome to VSchool. Once again, we are on chapter 13. In the previous chapter, we saw many things about the dealer and we saw how equipped he is to make any transactions. But a dealer also requires strategies. And what are these strategies? So these strategies can help him to square off his positions to make some profit of it. And this chapter, we are going to discuss different strategies which a dealer actually utilizes to see that his transaction is very effective and profitable. This chapter will explain the different types of dealing strategies. Why should the dealer learn different types of dealing strategies? This comes to the question in mind. The dealers are extremely specialized and demanding people. They have to consider several factors apart from selling the exchange price higher than that they purchased at. And that's the reason when they have to be very specialized and demanding, they need to prove themselves, and they can prove themselves by doing better transactions only with the help of different strategies. The first strategy that a dealer is required to keep in mind is never keep his funds idle, because keeping funds idle is not going to gain anything. No interest can be earned on the idle funds. He should ensure that the funds that are required for transactions are only kept with the nostro account, and he doesn't get any advantage out of overfunding of these accounts. It would be simply wastage of foreign exchange funds which otherwise would have been utilized for some profits. Nor should he overdraw the funds, because overdrawing amounts to paying off interest, which again puts a dent on the profitability of the treasury department. And hence, idle fund is a very important factor which can decide about the effectiveness of a dealing department. Next important factor the dealer has to keep in mind is the interest rate. The rate of interest he earns in the nostro account and the rates of interest earned on the money sought, call and loan. Because we have seen that there is no interest that is paid on certain accounts. There is no point making an exchange of profits if the loss in interest is greater. If the funds that are kept could earn a better interest somewhere else, then that could be a profitable opportunity. The dealer must square his position, must ensure there is adequate fund in the nostro account, but neither he should overdraw it nor he should overfund it. Otherwise, there might be maturity mismatches, interest on penalty or overdrawn amounts, and this would ultimately dent the profitability of the treasury department. Next important factor is the time factor. While making the deals, the dealer has the option of either dealing locally or internationally. We have seen, like typically in India, the market begins at say 10 a.m. and when it passes on to Europe, the London market opens at 2:30, then after that, the New York market opens at 7:30. So throughout, the market is kept open for 24 hours, as the Japanese, the Hong Kong and other markets open quite before India. So we have a big window of 24 hours, and hence the timing in the market could be very important. And he, as a dealer, should not only restrict his dealing only in one market, because if there is some profitable opportunity in some other markets, that can be beneficial. And hence the dealer has to ensure that which option could be better, whether dealing it locally or internationally. The trader has to be aware of the time factor and take advantage of the rates in other markets. And in this process, he can actually derive profits of the arbitrage opportunities. If a dealer cannot cover an operation locally or the price is more advantageous internationally, the dealer can buy or sell at a market that is open abroad to minimize his risk or maximize his profit. This is the biggest advantage he gets in the forex market. Now, deliveries against the spot transactions. Dealers will try to keep a near square position of Fridays before the weekend, as exchange rates can fluctuate significantly during the weekends. So it's better to square off the Fridays rather than carry forward in the next week, where who knows what type of rates would be. So deliveries against the spot transactions are made 2 days after the deal is made. 2 working days are also given for the settlement of forward transactions. Settlement against the spot transactions entered into on Thursday are made on Mondays, as Saturday is holiday. These rules we have already seen in our previous chapters. If the date of celebration is a holiday, the settlement is made on the next working day. So these are the specific things that has to be kept in mind while the deliveries are made against the spot transactions. The cover forward positions are also important to keep in mind. In regard to outright or option forward exchange deals, a dealer must first endeavor to match his forward purchases with his forward sales, even if the maturity do not exactly coincide. Covering these transactions are very important to ensure that the hedging is done. Forward transaction for odd dates presents difficulties because odd date is a future date within any 1 month of forward period, and it's difficult to find a dealer for such odd dates. But then there are different strategies that are utilized for covering such odd dates also. In regard to option forward deals, the sales are nearly always covered by a purchase for the earliest date on which the customer may demand the delivery. There is no hard and fast rule for covering transactions as they depend on the dealer's view, because we have seen the dealer is a specialized and demanding person. He is quite aware about the market. He has his own way of estimates and predictions, and that's the reason whatever decisions that are taken by the dealer stands out to be the best for the treasury department. As we have seen, the different rates in different markets gives rise to the arbitrage opportunities. Arbitrage is a simultaneous buying and selling of a commodity in two or more markets to take advantage of the temporary discrepancies in the prices. In foreign exchange, arbitrage is the purchase of one currency for another in one center and almost immediate resale of the same currency in other. The small changes that happen in different markets can be taken advantage of and profit booked for the same currencies or for the different markets. So arbitrage provides a very important strategy for the dealer to take advantage of the price movements, even though they might be small in different markets, because even though the price may be small, the volume, the ticket size may be huge, and such small changes can reap huge benefits in the form of big ticket transactions. Transactions may be to take advantage of discrepancies between different rates quoted at the same moment in different markets, of different discrepancies between forward margins for different maturities, and transactions to take advantage of discrepancies between different yields. So arbitrage can be on different aspects. It can be on interest rates, it can be on margins, it can be on yields. The point is, how good is the dealer to see such differences, discrepancies, and take advantage of this. So this is a game of looking at discrepancies and quickly taking advantage, because the moment you miss such opportunities, these are for very few seconds and you cannot tab them when you miss it. So this will be ongoing process. So the dealer has to be very quick and ensure that he strikes the deal when it is hot, and that's when he would be able to make the profits. The next important strategy is a swap. What is a swap? Swap is simultaneous purchase and sale of the same amount of foreign currency for two different value dates. For example, a bank purchases a $5 million spot and sells it 2 months forward. The same amount of foreign currency is bought and sold. And this is what is the speciality of a swap transaction. There is no exchange risk. However, there is a time mismatch because the value dates are different and the extent there is a risk. The risk involved in swaps are the depreciation of the foreign currency and interest rates moving against the bank. Now, the question arises, why are swaps undertaken? Swaps are undertaken, number one, to cover the risk, which is exchange risk, to meet its commitments, because different value dates will have different commitments, and obviously to meet the commitments, one needs to fund the account. So these are the three prime reasons why swaps are undertaken. Number one, to cover the exchange risk. Number two, to meet the commitments. And number three, to fund the accounts. Let's see this one by one. Number one, we see to cover the exchange risk. How does a swap cover the exchange risk? Bank enters into a forward purchase sale contract with the customer and other banks, and this currency exposure or exchange risk, this actually allows the bank to enter into another contract to sell or purchase a foreign currency to cover the exchange risk. So simply covering one liability with the other actually covers the exchange risk, and this is how a swap helps to cover the exchange risk. Now, how does a swap help to meet its commitments? Bank will always want to safeguard itself against the risk, cover itself, and in cases the customer may take or give delivery before the value of the contract. In such cases, bank will have to meet its commitments, and hence this necessary swap. So the swap will help the bank to meet its commitment as agreed with the client. Swap will also help to fund the account. The bank may be expecting a large remittance in 3 months but does not have enough money to in its account to meet a payment. The bank would enter into a swap or buying a swap and sending forward, and this is how the bank can actually arrange funds into his accounts for meeting the commitments. That's not all. The bank may also speculate, or rather indulge in the proprietary trading. It may believe that a currency is likely to appreciate or depreciate in the future. Because bank has expertise in tapping information, in keeping a watch on the global markets, and it can have its own view and opinion that prices may go up or down in the future, and thus it would buy or sell spot, buy or sell forward to take advantage of such hunch. And in this process, the bank can actually make some profit, and this profit comes specifically out of speculation. Bank can enter into swap transactions to take advantage of different interest rates also. The point is, what is the estimate, what is the prediction bank is going to take, and how good that is going to happen, that will decide whether the profit is going to happen or not. Now let us move to the foreign currency notes and coins. We have seen generally banks do not keep large amounts of foreign currency notes and coins. It amounts to great risk. It just, these are just saturated at one place. Bankers deal in foreign currency notes and coins in very limited way. These are mainly handled by money changers. Bank will buy foreign currency notes normally from the money changers to pass on to their client, but they will never stock in large amounts of foreign currency in their branches. Foreign currency notes and coins rates are normally quoted at a worse rate than for the other foreign exchange transactions, because first of all, they are not kept at large quantities, and the demand for such currencies in the present days are very less, because much of the things are done by the forex cards and the exchange happens, the payment happens electronically. The next important strategy is hedging. What is hedging? Hedging is taking a speculative risk in order to offset a bigger speculative risk in the opposite sense. So buying, on the other hand, selling actually does a hedge. Hedging by means of a forward exchange transaction is an arrangement to safeguard against an indefinite and indirect exchange risk arising from the existence of assets or liabilities. So when you actually do a transaction which is going to help you square off your previous transactions, so you don't have to worry about the uncertainty in the future on the exchange, you have already done what is required to be done today for the happening that is going to happen in the future. Now let's look at dealing and when what happens with the devaluation or a revaluation. Dealers, in the expectation of a possible devaluation or revaluation, will take positions as there could be large profits. We have seen such example in 1992. In India, several foreign banks had overbought position in the dollars in anticipation of the devaluation of the rupee. And when the rupee did devalue into tranches by 25%, huge profits were made. So this is an insight wherein one decides to keep the overbought position, but definitely in the current scenarios where a lot of limits and exposures are decided, one cannot just put whatever the funds into such positions as per its own whims and fancies. They have to comply with certain rules and regulations. Within that, if they can actually take advantage of the devaluation, revaluation, then it would be a great thing for the Treasury Department. And finally, we come to a unique concept in foreign exchange, is the leads and lags. What is leads and lags? Leads and lags, the timing of payment or covering the foreign exchange transactions for the purpose of avoiding losses or securing profits through an anticipated change in the exchange rates. This usually involves either paying early or delaying the payments because of the likelihood of movements in the foreign exchange, which simply means the timing of payment. And this timing of payments actually results into a big advantage to take advantage of the anticipated change in the exchange rates. So friends, with this, we reach the conclusion of the chapter. on the dealing strategies. The dealer has to ensure that the funds are not kept idle. That is the first rule. He has to utilize the funds to earn the maximum amount of money. He should not be overbought or oversold. He has to consider whether he will make money by just letting funds on interest or buying some other currency, because he cannot just either focus only on the interest or only on the funds. He has to see that the best match has to be done, the best transaction has to be done, and he should not miss out any opportunities of such as arbitrage or hedging or swapping. His decision can materially affect the results of the organization through the treasury department. So this is how we understand about our dealing strategies in this chapter. Thank you very much.